Good morning. The reading this morning will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of this message preached to save those who believe.
Good morning. I invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. That's where we'll begin this morning. In Acts chapter 8, following the persecution which arose against the Lord's people in the city of Jerusalem, we read that with the exception of the apostles, the Christians were scattered, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, and went about preaching the word. Verse 5 picks up the story with a man specifically by the name of Philip, who went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city. Now there was a man named Simon, who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. As he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. What is such a transforming influence? What would motivate people in the midst of persecution to leave their comfort zone in the city of Jerusalem and go out and preach the very message which has caused the persecution to arise in Jerusalem? What would cause them to continue in a course which had brought about difficulty and, as the story unfolds through the book of Acts, continued to do so? What would cause a group of people who had formerly been under the spell, if you will pardon the pun, of one Simon the sorcerer, what would cause a group of people so enamored with his magic arts, with his mysticism and sorcery, what would cause a group of people who had formerly seen something they thought to be the great power of God change altogether? What would cause even that sorcerer, the one supposed to be the great power of God, what would cause him to abandon his former sorcery, his way of life, and even his means of profit? What would cause him to undergo such a radical change? The common denominator throughout the story is the preaching of the Word of God. It is the proclamation of Jesus Christ. It is the good news concerning the kingdom or the dominion of God, His rule in this very unique and special way, which has been fulfilled in the coming, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and exaltation of his Son, Jesus Christ. And it is this common denominator, the foolish message preached, as it might be perceived by the world, a message of a crucified and risen Savior. It is that message which is echoed again and again. It is that message that is shared with an Ethiopian treasurer traveling back home from Jerusalem later in Acts chapter 8. It is the message of words by which he would be saved, for which Cornelius summoned Simon Peter in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, calling for him immediately so that they might hear all that Peter had been commanded by the Lord. Time and again, with every conversion story that unfolds through the book of Acts, we find that those stories, central in those stories and central to them, is the preaching of the gospel message, the sounding forth of the word of the Lord. And yet we live in a culture in which preaching is somewhat, shall we say, out of vogue, where messages of positive reinforcement and pop psychology, health and wealth, and the so-called prosperity gospel, messages which speak very little of sin and the consequence of it, oftentimes messages which speak nothing of Jesus Christ and the price paid for sin, messages that demand very little by way of response and certainly nothing in the realm of sacrifices, messages which certainly might make one walk away feeling really good about themselves, but who do messages which do nothing really to solve the world's greatest problem. Even among the Lord's people in different places, less and less preaching is done, and the substance of it is weaker than the proverbial water. We have shortened attention spans for any number of different reasons, and I am as guilty as the next. Gospel meetings which used to stretch a week or weeks are now barely weekends in many instances. Congregations have eliminated service periods of worship altogether from their schedules, and even those which they have maintained, preaching has been largely pared down. Now, you're sitting there already thinking that Jeremy is preaching a sermon here regarding his own job security, and nothing could be further from the truth. Because the simple reality is that the preaching of the gospel is not just my job or Zach's or John's, but the sharing of the word of God is central to who we are as Christians. And we ought to be doing more of it and not less. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible. Not because it has anything to do with that with which I occupy my time or the way in which I am supported, but give me the Bible because it alone is what illumines the path to heaven. Give me the Bible because every soul made by God Himself is immortal. Give me the Bible because every soul is precious. As Jesus sent out and commissioned his apostles on what is called the limited commission, a message to be taken to a more limited audience than that which would be given later, Jesus said to those men as they went out to take the message of the kingdom, do not fear, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Jesus echoes this message of souls' immortality and the consequences of disobedience. He shares this with them as motivation for taking the message and for taking the message with courage. Don't fear those who have power only over the physical realm, but fear the one who has authority over all. Every soul is precious. And every one of those souls will live after death. In John chapter 5, beginning in verse 28, Jesus said, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. But notice there is no third category. There's no exception to the rule which Jesus gives in this passage. All who are in the tombs will hear his voice. All will be raised from those tombs. All will be subject to a resurrection. There will be certainly a parting of the ways based on the judgment of the book of life and the books of God's revelation, but all will live after death. The doctrine of eternal annihilation, the doctrine of absolute dissolving of one's conscious existence following this earthly life is just simply not biblical. Give me the Bible. Because I'm going to live after this life is over. And in that life after this, I'm going to face judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says that inasmuch as it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes the judgment. We will die, and then judgment will be our next reality. We will all be gathered before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, and we will be recompensed, that is, repaid according to the deeds which we have done in the body, whether good or evil. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, each one will give an account of himself before God. Give me the Bible. Because that is the standard by which I will stand before my Maker in judgment. Give me the Bible. Because I do not want to take a test for which I've not been given the opportunity to study. I don't want to be held accountable for something for which I've had no opportunity to prepare, for of which I have been willingly ignorant. Give me the Bible. Because those are the books that will be opened. Give me the Bible. Because every sinner, without the saving message of the gospel and their surrender to it, every sinner is lost. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And our fellowship with God is consequently severed. Not because God is unwilling to have fellowship with us or incapable of doing so. His hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that he cannot hear, but rather our iniquities have made a separation between us and our God. Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2. The fault is not God's. It is not because he is unwilling or incapable, but because in our sin we have violated the holiness in which he created us. We have caused ourselves to be separated from him, to defile ourselves in such a way that is unworthy of his presence and incapable of a relationship with him. Give me the Bible, because I'm lost in sin. And because the gospel message of Jesus Christ that is written and recorded, documented and preserved in the pages of that Bible, that message is God's power to save me from my sin. Give me the Bible. I don't need what the world thinks I need. I don't need pop psychology or popular philosophy. I do not need a message that makes me feel good about where I am when I am still lost in my sin. I need a message that will save my soul. I need a message that will point me towards heaven. I need a message that will send me in the direction of a Savior who can cleanse me and a Lord whom I can follow. Give me the Bible. Because it is God's power to save. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For everyone who believes. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Not only God's inherent character, his personal righteousness. And not only his standard of what is right that we might follow, but his message of justification, his message of righteousness, the means by which we can again have access to God by his grace and through a submissive and obedient faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells me how, as a sinner, I can be clean and enjoy fellowship with him again. Give me the Bible, because that salvation that is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ is more important than anything else in the world. Nothing rivals that salvation. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man? He gains the whole world and forfeits his soul. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds." The salvation of your soul, the salvation of my soul, is the most important thing in the world. It's the most valuable thing in the world. It's more valuable than anything and everything which might otherwise hinder our submission to it, our obedience to the gospel. What value? What value is the whole of this world and everything in it if on the day of judgment you've lost your soul? What would you exchange for your soul? Give me the Bible. Because the salvation that I learn about within its pages is more valuable than anything else. Give me the Bible. Because everyone, all men, must understand what to do to be saved. It's not something into which men are simply going to stumble or accidentally fall. But it is something which must be understood, and something to which men must surrender. Jesus told those same apostles following his death, burial, and resurrection, and just preceding his ascension and exaltation, go into all creation and preach the gospel. Preach the saving news of Jesus Christ. Preach the message of his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his exaltation. Preach the message of his atoning death. Preach his lordship and majesty. Preach the fact that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Preach the fact that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and he who believes it and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus does not present this as a matter of suggestion or possibility. He does not share this as a matter of something that might ought to be if perhaps we get around to it. But something that is a matter of life and death urgency, for without hearing the gospel, believing it, and being baptized, there is no means by which anyone will be saved. Peter preached the message on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. People need to understand that message. That without turning from our sins, without turning from that which is by nature contrary to the will of God, and submitting to the will of Jesus in baptism, our sins are not washed away. Our sins are not forgiven. People need to understand the message that was shared with that Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. When after hearing of Jesus and coming to some water, he said, "Here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you may." And with his confession, his acknowledgement that he believed that Jesus Christ was in fact the Son of God, and all of the ramifications of that, his lordship and majesty, his reign as King of kings and Lord of lords, his absolute authority and willingness to surrender to that authority, that Ethiopian, as those in Samaria before him, and those in Jerusalem before them, that Ethiopian was baptized, that is, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. And he arose from that water to go on his way rejoicing. Give me the Bible. Because people need to understand that that's the saving message. Give me the Bible. Continue to give me the Bible, because even saved people need the Bible too. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, that all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. It is absolutely true that the Word of God is the necessary message that men might learn what to do so that they might be saved. But the emphasis of this passage is on the completion, the perfection, the fulfilling of one who is already in God. The Scriptures do not only tell us the things that are not right and the things that are right. They tell us not only how to get right, but also how to stay in a right relationship with God. That is, to mold and shape our character and our behavior consistent with the character of God. Not that so that we earn our salvation or that we merit our relationship with Him, but rather that we show a loving deference and respect towards him who has saved us. Paul told Timothy in the very next chapter, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Preach the word. Not just to those who have never heard it before or who have heard it and perhaps not yet surrendered in obedience to the gospel, but preach the word even to those who have. Preach the word because saved people need the Bible too. They needed to be reproved and rebuked, exhorted, and patience and instruction are necessary for all. Give me the Bible because I, even as a Christian, need what it has to say. I need to be strengthened, so that I'm not carried away by something that would tickle my ears. I need the Bible, lest I be carried away from the truth and turn aside to fables. I need its admonition and exhortation and edification. Give me the Bible, because I do not want to lose what I've received by the grace of God. Give me the Bible. Holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Give me the Bible, because it uniquely is the word of God. And it can do what no other book is able to do. Give me the Bible. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Will the word of the Lord bear fruit in you this morning? Will you surrender to it? Will you heed the call of God's grace through Jesus Christ and obey the gospel on his terms? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you've not done that, we plead with you this morning to do so. If you have but you've not been faithful, there's some way that we as your brothers and sisters in Christ can help you make your life right with the Lord, and certainly pray with you and for you even this morning before we leave this building. We encourage you to respond by coming to the front row as we stand and sing for your encouragement.